Hey, everybody. I know you're expecting us to start the show, but before we do, we want to give everybody a heads up. We have a special announcement to make. Shout It Out Loudcast, along with Joey Quesada.
We're going live Monday night, November 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook Live. The three of us have a very special announcement to make, and no, it has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. So please tune in to find out what's up.
Monday night, tune in, special announcement. You heard it here first. Now let's get to the episode.
Hey, this is Adam Mitchell. You're listening to Tom and Zeus and the Shout It Out Loudcast. Rock on.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Boy.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Stockbroker Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley.
Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
Tiny.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no, here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing?
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck it.
That's what
I'm talking about.
617-525-0850.
Yes. Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shouting Out Loudcast. Episode 250. 250?
250?
How much for an order of ribs?
How much for one rib? Fuck it. Pour him a half or dime.
My cups cost more than 10 cents. Fuck the cup. Pour my hand for a dime. Episode 250, Jean Beauvoir.
Oui, oui, monsieur.
Beauvoir, pass it on to Richard. They should they score.
Exactly. Yeah, the great Jean Beauvoir. We're going to pick his brain about some 80s Kiss and a bunch of other stuff, too. Great stuff.
Yep. Another part of our songwriter series, I guess, Tom. We're getting all the songwriters on.
That's true. 2023 is the year of the songwriter. We're lucky to have that. Yep.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Before we move on, last week we did our mailbag episode. And on that, we had some questions. We made the question of the week, all sudden, all sorts of fucking stupid stories and guesses and theories and all sorts of shit came out about the future of this show, Tom.
That's right. So we said, let's make the question of the week about us, or I should say the poll of the week about us. What do you think we should do after the end of the road tour? The options were continue talking Kiss. Kiss a few times a month and focus on Dome Damage. Kiss maybe once a month and do Dome Damage. Kiss talk done. Just do Dome Damage. Well, we got a lot of votes and a lot of passionate comments. And I'm here to tell you that 77% want Kiss talk. Everybody else, they just want us to talk Kiss. So a couple good comments here. Wesley Ship, keep talking Kiss like it goes. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Joe Papalotto, our buddy, settle down, chief. Not talking Kiss just because they're not touring anymore is ludicrous. And then he does a gif of the rapper Ludacris. Oh, our buddy Tally Faulkler.
The great Tally.
Yeah, we love Tally. She's the best. I would not be able to cope if you guys just wrap things up right after the end of the road tour. Well, thank you for that. But we're not wrapping up. We were just saying maybe shift gears away from Kiss a little bit. But Tally, you're the best. You better get to New York City with us. Our buddy Nige, continue talking Kiss weekly, you lazy fucks. Wow, Nige. That's aggressive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
But that's okay.
Be careful when you say Nige. Somebody might tell him that we were talking shit about him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, good point. Sorry. Yeah, that's a great point. Our buddy Steve, fuck me ragged. It's bad enough that Kiss are finishing without you doing the same. We would be suicidal. Oh, God. Steve, come on.
Oh, Jesus. It sounds like, you know, you're getting a little overreacted to
I'm hurt.
Things that we can do for you.
I'm very hurt.
And we got one here from Egghog. I love the granular Kiss topics you get into. And it's not like that you do a ton of current event episodes. Otherwise, I would just like weekly hour-long dissertations on Paul's lemon-faced pasta making. Oh, that's not going anywhere. Trust me, we're going to continue doing that. So we appreciate all the kind words about you guys wanting us to stick around and do Kiss stuff. We'll see what happens. Let's look at else we got here from the regular mailbag. Wally Vidal, great episode, guys. You asked about the walk-up songs in baseball. I found Andrew Chafin of the Tigers walks out to Detroit Rock City. Okay, that's cool. Mark Schull, fantastic episode as always, guys. Always a highlight of my weekend. Lots of great questions and answers. Keep up the good work. Great stuff, guys. You're awesome. Appreciate the feedback and all the kind words, especially the mailbag is always awesome. So thanks for that. That's what we got for Twitter.
Over on the Book of Face, guys, Jay Scott writes, great episodes, lots of laughs. How can we get a list of Rat without body talk?
Oh, God.
So I had to say, that makes about as much sense as you comment in here about a Dorm Damage episode that we haven't even posted yet.
Poor Jay. Jay's in a different time zone, literally, literally and figuratively.
Jay is still sleeping.
Yeah.
Sleepy Jay
Scott. Oh, oh God.
Darren Sparks says, Bang Bang You would be a great walkout song.
Okay.
Brian Robinson says, you guys are planning your exit already? And then Scott Greer adds, a low-fee free checking account. Sign me up, boss. That's the Ace Frehley one. And don't forget, Ace has got a special going on right now, Tom, right?
That's right. Yep. Black Friday sale. Go to acefrehley.com. And if you order now and use the promo code SIOL, there's a free listening party in the loft of my shed. So check that out. Just announced.
And if you send an extra $20, Ace won't send you the shitty music that he recorded.
But I got this box of cassettes I got to get rid of. Somebody's got to turn on their Panasonic hi-fi to listen to these.
Tom has given me 2 weeks to get rid of all this shit. He won't let me use any of the storage he's got in the basement. So I got to get rid of this shit. Anybody want it?
Those lawn and leaf bags. Think they can fit 400 cassettes of Space Invader?
You know, I know people think that my new album is going to be the greatest thing since Zeppelin 4, but I've got some stuff here from about 1988 that you guys might want to listen to. It was the origins of Genghis Khan.
I call the album 10,000 volts because that's how many volts you're going to need to be shocked into coherence after listening to this horrible thing I'm putting out.
There's a 10-minute segment called Hey, what time is it? Is it time for me to take my medicine? It's on loop there, 10 minutes while I start doing the chords to Parasite on it.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, got to get that Ace Frehley Black Friday special, guys.
Oh, Jesus.
If you order today, I won't send you a copy of my latest concert film that we had where I keep playing Rocket Ride for the third time.
Oh, jeez.
You'll actually get the short film called Jeremy Comes Over and Says, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You're playing the wrong chords to Detroit Rock City.
Oh. Shit.
How does this one go again?
This one's called Rocket Ride. Ace, you just played that 4 times in a row.
All right. I seriously, this whole episode could be Ace Black Friday specials.
That's why this show will never stop talking about Kiss, because we'll just turn into, we'll just be the Uncle Ace show.
Yeah, we're going to review this, you know, this Dio album. And then one time I ran into Ronnie James Dio and I said, oh shit, this is the Scorpions guy.
I couldn't believe how much of a little fella he was. I saw the guy. He was telling me these terrible stories about how he couldn't ride the rides at the carnival because the little clown thing didn't reach the top of his head. He was too short. So I said, why don't you come with me? I got some rides in my backyard here.
I told him to hop in my pocket and let's go for a rocket ride. He didn't like that too much.
It's a really, really, really nice guy. Where they put that Dio hologram up, I couldn't even tell the difference. I told Lara maybe she could put a hologram of me up there so I don't have to get on stage every night.
And then once in a while, you could show the real live footage of me snoring on the couch in the back, in the shitty back room where she loves to film me.
The only problem with that is now Lara wants a hologram of her on stage with me.
Oh, God. All right. Moving on to Loudcasters, the group page comments. The great Mike Throne. The way you guys include your audience in your show is what sets your podcast apart from all others. Thank you, Mike. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, the listeners are the best. So, and we're very, very say it.
The Bumblefingers are the best.
As soon as I said that, I said, oh, shit.
That's fucking awful 80s commercial. What was the place?
80s, dude. That was 90s.
Good Times.
Good Times.
Emporium.
Good Times. They call it Good Time because it's a good time to get stabbed.
If you didn't get fucking shanked on the way out to your car, you got lucky. Oh, they used to have that awful commercial. Anybody from Boston will know. Saturday night. Was it Saturday or Friday night? Saturday night. The Buffalo Fingers are the best.
It's like these mall skanks playing fucking whack-a-mole with fucking drinking like martinis.
Oh, my God. Hair down to their fucking knees. Oh.
Oof. Pew. Oh, do we have a show tonight or what?
Yeah. The great Thanos Akritidis. Tom and Zeus, you funny cunts. Oh, that's nice. Oh,
Jesus.
Love you. Listening to this show was great again. I laughed my ass off with your ace impersonations, literally in tears.
Good.
There would be no one happier person than me if Ace's album is good. But I'm not holding my breath. Some great questions from Loudcasters. The one question I have for both of you is, will you guys cry when it all ends? My wife asked me the same question. I seriously couldn't answer. See you boys in a week. Zeus, get the souvlaki ready.
Ooh.
I'm not cooking for you, buddy, and I don't know if you're calling something else to get ready for you. It ain't that kind of trick. Yeah, we'll see everybody there in New York, right? We'll be there Thursday. We're staying Thursday to Sunday, so make sure you guys let us know.
It's going to be nuts. Can't believe it's already here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fucking fan-fucking-tastic. Had a fucking tuna fish sub for lunch, Tom. I'm never having it on episode day. Fucking just sticking right in my throat and chest.
Yeah, I totally agree. Those really are a problem for me. Every time I get on stage, if I have a tuna club, it turns out to be a real problem.
The whole band knows when I have a tuna fish sandwich, they can smell it on the mic.
That ain't the sandwich that smells like tuna, Ace.
When I went and visited the king at Graceland, he offered me a peanut butter fucking banana fried sandwich with tuna fish. That didn't sit too well with me.
I ended up turning that fountain into a toilet. It was a real problem.
I think that's why the king had to kill himself in that bathroom after me. It was strangely August 16th, 1977, when I used the bathroom upstairs. I heard the king wasn't too happy about it.
Holy shit, mama, what the fuck left this in here?
I'm sorry about that, king. I didn't mean I should have flushed. I'm sorry, buddy.
Oh, God.
Over on YouTube, Tom.
Go ahead.
The great Chris Flood. Hey, guys, 1 year ago this month, I found this podcast. I thank you for the great entertainment. I love Dorm Damage, too. I know I have to be a ham and egger and say a little negative. There were too many album review codes I couldn't make it through, and Sonny didn't pick them, but still the best podcast out there. No problem, buddy. We're not all perfect, but we're glad you still listen.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Well, that's why we kind of incorporated the Patreon pick, this kind of a little bit more of a mainstream pick, because our individual picks can sometimes be a little bit off.
Everybody. Yeah,
they're not for everybody, but that's part of the fun.
It's a little bit self-indulgent. You know what we love about them is once in a while you get somebody go, I didn't fucking listen to that. That album's awesome. Glad you got me into it.
And that outweighs
everything. It really does.
And then once in a while you'll get ones where you say, wow, I never heard that album before. Thank God, because it's fucking terrible. That'll happen too. So
somebody wrote XYZ8655. Is Ace gonna shit his pants in today's episode? This week on Uncle Ace.
Wow. Oh, dude, my head is hurting. This is too much Ace.
Yeah.
Oh.
And someone underneath him writes, Evil Eyes 4070. I love the way these guys hate Ace. Dude, Ace is comedy gold.
Are you kidding me? We fucking love Ace. Give me a break.
He makes this show go. He's fucking awesome. You kidding me? We love Ace. And then there's Slurry God. Guys, I hope you don't go anywhere. As you, I made your mark a KISS podcast. Sorry, there's a little bit confusion there with what you wrote. I'm not sure I got that, but I can only speak for myself. But I'm sure there are many others that look forward to hearing your conversations, sense of humor, great interviews regarding our favorite band. I understand that you have to do what you enjoy the most, and that is the most important thing. But count me in the hopes that you stick around for many years talking KISS, because nobody does it quite like you two do.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate it too. I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon, but we have talked about perhaps, you know, changing the format after a while. It's not happening anytime soon, but yep. You never know. Okay, guys. And if we do, we'll definitely still always talk KISS at some point, you know?
Yep.
So, Tom, that's what I got. Over to you.
All right. Let's get through a couple of emails here, shall we? Our buddy Josh Brown. You're the number one KISS podcast for a reason. However, I couldn't be upset if you branch out to giving us more of an in-depth view into music, movies, and pop culture that you like more than just a passing statement or a funny quip. It's going to be an entertaining and fun listen either way. Honestly, the conversation is what makes the episodes more than the topic. It doesn't matter what you talk about. Us loudcasters will still listen. If you pull it back to KISS once or twice a month on episodes and the Dorm Damage episodes get more time, because you're going more in depth on things, that would be cool too. Especially when you discuss lists, like the Rolling Stone list, for instance. It's going to be awesome no matter what you two decide on, and we will be here to listen. P.S. At least let me defend my title next year with the SIOL KISS Bracket Tournament. Josh, you're the man. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. That's awesome.
We're not sure what we're going to do with that, but thank you.
Thank you. We got one here from Yadier Ruiz. He says, hi from Puerto Rico. Hi, brothers. I want to tell you some stuff. Huge KISS fan. I'm 42 years old and just want to tell you how much I enjoy your podcast and the way you criticize KISS without filter. My son is 14 years old. He's a huge KISS fan in metal in general and now is your biggest fan. He loves the album reviews and the imitations of Ace and Gene. Thank you for all the entertainment and good, honest job you guys do. My son's name is Yadier. Can you say hello to him? Thanks again. Hello? Yadier, thanks, man. Appreciate it. And I don't know how I feel about a 14-year-old being a huge fan of us, but that's okay. We love you, buddy, and thanks for the email.
Happy greetings. Hello. Hope you're doing well, Yadier. Much appreciate it. You rock, and so does your dad, man. You had a good father that gets you involved in your music and stuff, man. Appreciate him.
Awesome. Absolutely. And let's see. We got a funny one here from Patrick Butterworth. He's telling us some funny stories about how he's going back and listening to old episodes and picking up some tidbits that he missed the first time around. He says, thanks for being so ridiculously absurd. That's one of the nicest things I've ever heard in my life. Thank you for that. And we got another great one from our buddy AJ White, another fellow New Hampshireite. AJ sending us some good stuff about the mailbag. Keep up the amazing work. Can't wait to hear what's next. AJ, we love hearing from you and appreciate the emails that you send us every week. So thank you for that. And that's what we got for emails.
Yeah, Tom, let's skip on over to one more. And that is our Instagram page. And our Instagram page has a comment from the great Heavy Mayo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm sure you know who that guy is.
Of course we do.
Heavy Mayo. When it comes to the future of Shout Out Loudcast, I can confidently say that we all came for the subject of KISS, but we all stayed because of the personalities of Tom and Zeus. Regardless of the subject, you will always have us listening and captivated by your takes on subjects. Thank you, TNZ. No. Thank you, Heavy Mayo. You've been with us since the beginning. You're one of the OGs. You're an OG Patreon member as well. We always love your interaction, and you're one of the great listeners that we got to meet in person. And we think you're the best, buddy, and you are the comment of the week.
Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, I mean, Heavy Mayo, we go way back with you, brother. And we love the support and we love the interaction. It was great hanging out with you, meeting you a couple years ago at the KISS concert at Great Woods. Yes, we called it Great Woods. So thank you for the kind words. Appreciate it always, buddy.
Yeah, Tom, what we do next is we skip on over to Patreon. Our Patreon family is fantastic. They help us out so much. Patreon is where people can contribute to the show and they get stuff in return from us, whether it be involvement like the ARC stuff, polls, Friday flashbacks, video chats, merchandise, t-shirts, stickers, all sorts of stuff. If you're interested in joining our Patreon, please go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Right on the landing page, you'll see an icon there for Patreon. Click it. Once you click on that, you'll go to the Patreon website, and there you can look at the four categories we have set up. You guys would contribute to us monetarily, which helps the show tremendously. It keeps growing us and getting guests like the great Jean Beauvoir and other things that are very beneficial for the show. We get on a better show, and we keep getting better because of the help that you guys give us and the support from Patreon. So please, anyone out there want to help us grow and continue to succeed, please go to our website, go to Patreon, and then become a member and help the show. We really appreciate it. We love the Patreon family, and look for the ARC Patreon pick coming soon too. Thank you guys out there. Much appreciated.
Patreon, you guys rock. Thank you so much for your contributions, and we are eternally grateful for everything you do. This month, coming up sooner than later, will be the ARC Patreon pick, and we are excited for all of you, and we can't wait to continue to celebrate 2024 with you guys. I can't believe I just said that because it's coming that soon.
Tom, what we do next is we go over to KISS World, talk about what's in the news there. What's going on, buddy?
We got a lot of stuff here. Gene is making the circuit here with some interviews. A lot of these are getting everybody's attention, especially with the headlines. A couple things he said here. We'll pick some of these quotes out here. This tour is the end of the road for the band, not the brand. KISS is a universe of its own. Movies, merchandise, maybe even Broadway. The band will end, but the KISS experience is immortal. It's the end of touring. He says, KISS will continue. There's a KISS museum in Las Vegas at the Rio called KISS World. And oh my goodness, we have KISS cruises, a movie coming out. We're working on a cartoon show, a lot of stuff. And of course, all the fun toys and games that will continue. As for the future of KISS performances, Gene said, quote, the KISS show will live on in different ways. Yes, that's being planned. It will also be 4 to 10 different traveling shows. You'll be able to be in Japan and have Japanese actors, musicians being us. And at the same time, you could go to Vegas or New York or London. I don't see KISS going away. Wow. Comments on that one, buddy.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Gene seems like he's letting us know where the fine line is between people saying, oh, does that mean you're going to do Vegas next? Does that mean like... It sounds like they really are going to take a break. I still believe they're going to do one-off shows or a Vegas residency, but they're not going to do touring. I think he's trying to leave it a little blank, but also not like kind of box themselves in where they can't do anything in the future. I know that in one of these interviews, he said, we got the KISS cruises.
Yep.
And Tom, while we're recording, I saw that somebody had put on the Seattle soundcheck. Paul Stanley talks about at the soundcheck in Seattle tonight that he's looking forward to KISS cruises in the future.
I hope so too. Gene also made a comment about how Paul has his Soul Station band. I have my Gene Simmons band. you know, will be doing that. So they are, they're going to be at, they're not going to go away. I just don't think that they're going to tour as the band, but we'll see. Gene also did another interview, made some comments, of course, about Ace and Peter. Those always get headlines here. Gene said, "I feel sad. I feel sad and angry that both Ace and Peter aren't here. I mean, they're alive, but they're not here to enjoy this unbelievable journey with us. They were there at the beginning and they deserve all the credit. And when they look in the mirror, the only reason they're not here with us is themselves." I don't know. Is that true? The only reason they're not here is because of them?
We're holding on a little bit of information and it sucks that we can't share it with you. There's just a lot to say. I don't expect anything is what I'm going to say for the show. I think it's going to be a final Kiss show and that could be in and of itself good enough. It's going to be the final Kiss show. And we're really honoring Gene and Paul. Let's be honest. It's that friendship and that bond that's really the Kiss legacy. Look, a lot of us, if Kiss never came back and when they got back together in 96 and stuff, the 70s band was only really how long?
5 years.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, by the time Peter was officially out, maybe 1980.
Yeah.
So 7 years at most, but you know, he barely played on Dynasty and stuff. So over the last 50 years, if only they had 7 years together, really, and then you had a little bit more of the reunion, it's really the Gene and Paul show. Let's be honest.
And
I don't expect to have anybody on stage with them because they talked about it. Like, we don't want to say, "Hey, look, there's Garth Brooks." I saw in the interview, Gene said, "Hey, look, there's so-and-so." He's not bringing anybody there. Paul and him are going to just enjoy this, play the last songs with people they feel comfortable with and love being on stage with Eric and they love being on stage with Tommy. I think they're just going to go out the way they want to. Fuck all the drama and all the other shit, you know, and they don't want any other part of it. There's time for documentaries, other stuff. And then there's also last week, we didn't get to this because it came out after we recorded. They're also doing the pay-per-view for the show.
That's right. One of our listeners brought up an interesting point. And again, I mean, is it wishful thinking? Is it conspiracy theory? He said that does the pay-per-view maybe change your mind that something special is going to happen where they want everyone to see this? Or is it just a way for everybody to see the final show? No, I don't know. But like you said, unfortunately, we have a little bit of information, you know,
which that information, and we'll tell you after the fact.
Yes, after
the show. Which with that information, I feel like they're not doing anything other than their regular show.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Sorry. We hate to be the bearers of bad news, but
otherwise that would be part of it, right?
Yeah, we're kind of preparing you guys for the fact that I don't think there's going to be anything happening.
Just enjoy it for what it is. It's the last time you see Gene and Paul up there in makeup, supposedly singing fucking, you know, God of Thunder. So,
and I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
And it's good enough for me. Okay.
Yep.
It's good enough for me. Finally, you know, he did mention again, I said the cruises. That's a big deal for us. We love the cruises.
Oh,
we,
God.
Fun. So much fun. But, you know, he said, "Oh, Paul will do his Soul Station. I don't know what the fucking cruise is going to be, Tom. Maybe it'll be Gene Simmons presents the Kiss Cruise starring my 1980s Japanese band Ezo, whatever the fuck they're called,
followed by an acoustic set from House of Lords,
played by double doing of Greg, whatever the fuck his name is, Geoffrey, whatever the fuck his name is.
You mean Greg Geoffrey,
whatever the fuck his name is. He'll be doing a double box set release of his House of Lords third album, which I'm sure fucking half you guys have.
Well, don't forget, the opening act is going to be Black and Blue. And if you pre-order your cruise tickets, you get their debut album on swirled colored gray vinyl. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, Gene, you think you could pitch in, throw in my cassette box set too? I got to get these out by the end of the week. Tom is getting really mad.
It's going to be a problem, too, when I check my bags in on Spirit Airlines. It's going to go overweight because I got all these cassettes. I don't know what to do with them.
My luggage is a garbage bag.
Look, before this all happened, we thought there was going to be a Kiss cruise. They said that it would be probably a Gene Simmons band thing, a Soul State. Look, I don't even care. As long as there's other bands and our friends are all going, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I'm leaving at that. Have fun. Just enjoy the shit. And
yeah,
we'll be there. And so will a lot of our friends. And we're looking forward to it, guys.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, let's take a little break. We're going to go back to the shed and wake Ace up. He needs to get up, because he's got a concert at the Hampton Beach Club in about 2 hours, and he needs to get there ready before the show starts. And he needs to warm up a little bit so he can work on Fractured Mirror 8.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Well, we're back, and I also had to have a conversation with Ace about, Thanksgiving's coming up, and he's going to help me do some shopping. So he's like, I used to go turkey hunting as a kid. Give me a couple seconds. We'll go through the woods in Nashua. I'll get you a bird by the end of the week.
Yeah, the first Fraley came over on the Mayflower, Tom. Did you know it? If you look closely at the pictures from the first Thanksgiving, there's a Papa Fraley's in the picture. In the middle, he's got a smoking turkey. He's holding it up, and that's where I learned how to play the riff to shock me.
You look over in the corner, you'll see my great-great aunt. She's churning butter. She's moving up and down. Really does a great job with it.
Oh, yeah, that showed me how to play the riff to Parasite right from there. I saw her fingers were jamming. She was a little bit lazy like myself. Tom, we had the great Jean Beauvoir on tonight, and Jean is from an era that, you know, that doesn't get as much attention, and that is the mid-80s non-makeup era. He's got some good stories for us. Great guy. Can't say enough kind things about him. Lovely man, and we had a ton of fun talking to him, and I hope you are as excited as I am to play this for everybody. And without further ado, the great Jean Beauvoir.
All right, we are back with another spectacular guest, a very important member of Kistory here. He became famous in the 80s with the Plasmatics and went on to do tons of other amazing things with great bands. But of course, we're talking Kiss this week, and he was very important to one of our favorite eras that us Kiss fans love, the 80s non-makeup era. And of course, he's famous for that fantastic mohawk that he is sporting tonight with us. Welcome to the show, the great Jean Beauvoir, to Shout It Out Loudcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here, guys. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Jean, you've been kind of in the Kiss world. All of us Kiss fans know you. We, if you're part of the Kiss world, all Kiss fans know you. And specifically you stick out. Like, can't miss you. We love the mohawk. We love the look. But we also love your contributions to two favorite albums of ours, Asylum and Animalize. And we're going to get into all that.
Thank you.
But what we do is we like to just ask a couple quick questions. And now we're putting you a little on the spot here. And this could be professional. This could be your friend now. It could be your friend years ago. Who is your favorite KISS member?
I can't say.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I'll give you a hint, though, John. Paul and Gene aren't listening.
How do we know that?
That's true.
I'd have to say Paul, because Paul and I have been friends for many, many, many years, you know? But I'm friends with Gene, too. It's always been great to me. So, yeah, that's what
now, did you become friendly, too, with the great Bruce Kulick as well during that era?
Yes, all the guys. Yeah, because I'd spent a lot of time in the studio. I was just like, you know, Paul and I, between writing, we were like, really, because I lived in L.A., too. We lived in New York at the same time, so we hung out all the time. And then we kind of both moved out to L.A. around the same time. So we were discovering things out there, and we were out all the time. But, you know, so for example, we'd say, oh, tonight this band's playing, or let's go have dinner here at this cool place. And then we're going into the studio. But all the guys are there. Bruce is there. Everybody's doing their thing, you know. So it became like a real family environment. You know,
awesome.
Just, okay, I'll meet you at the studio. Let's do that. And then we'll take off. And, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
Awesome.
That's great. Now, I've heard this about Paul, and correct us if we're wrong, that he, like, we've had people on, like, we years ago, when we were originally talking with Bob Kulick, Bob hung out with him for a couple years straight. They would hang out all the time. Carmine Appice used to say the same thing. Mitch Weissman says the same thing. You say the same thing. Oh, I hung out with Paul for a couple of years. Yeah, we were hanging out every day. I'm assuming, you know, things changed when he got married, right? Is that
ours
true?
Ours was longer. I mean, we started, he sent me a picture not too long ago of his dad with me in the background from like 1982.
Oh, boy. Wow.
So our relationship started back then in the 80s, and probably, I mean, it's still now. We're still friends now, but I mean, where we are like hanging out, literally lasted quite a long time, all the way up till 94.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was saying, like, do you think
someone's record, you know?
Yep.
Would you say it's because lifestyles changed? Because he got married, I think, at some point. It probably changed his lifestyle, obviously.
And as soon as he got married and his life changed, I moved to Key West. I was gone, you know. So I took off, you know, and then, you know, same thing. So we kind of went our separate ways. And then it's harder. You know, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, but you still have that bond and that friendship where if you pick up the phone, it's like you guys have always
hung out. That's right. Exactly. Or we'll send little messages or, you know.
Yeah, of course. Whatever, of course.
You know. Great. Now, do you have a favorite KISS song? And it could be today. It could be of all time. It could be, you know what, I've been listening to this lately or anything like that. Do you have a favorite song?
Could be one that you helped write.
Oh, God. That's a really tough one. You guys are tough.
We're putting you on the spot, my friend.
Because, you know, it depends. If you go into old KISS and stuff that got me excited, you know, Rock and Roll All Night, I love that. Detroit Rock City was one of my favorite songs. I played it, you know, that was one of the songs I learned to play guitar on, you know what I mean? So those songs I kind of grew up with. And then at the same time, there are some great later KISS stuff. I do like Who Wants to Be Lonely. I don't ever think that my stuff is my favorite. I'm not like, you know what I mean?
Really?
It's just not. Like, I love Tears Are Falling.
Okay.
What do you like about Tears Are Falling?
It's the melody. It's something about the melody that I liked. And I remember when Paul wrote it.
Yeah.
Because we were writing at the time, you know?
Yep. Yes.
And at the same time, he'd be doing his own thing. So I think I remember just sitting on the couch. He said, look, listen to this. I got this. I just got this together. And he was kidding. I said, that's great. And that was like, you're almost like, you know, I wish I wrote it too.
Yeah, that's right.
So when he does this with you, does he have a guitar or is he just like humming the melody or something to you?
It was a guitar at the time.
So he had the riff.
He had them all together. It was like, that's right. Yeah. And he sang the melody. It was more the melody that.
Yeah,
I don't remember how he played it on guitar, what he played, but I remember that's
awesome.
And that was just a nice melody, you know. But we always had things in common when it comes to, you know, melodies that we like Motown. So we In other words, we bound to other things, you know, besides just kids. And we were actually friends hanging out, going to clubs, dancing, listening to Motown, believe it or not, a year before we even wrote anything.
Wow,
that's fantastic. That's cool. I'm always fascinated to hear, like, we know the finished product. We know what Tears is, but you were there, like, when, you know, someone turns to you and goes, hey, what do you think of this? And what somebody like you and Paul, songwriters, and how you guys just come up with that idea. And then somehow we all blink, and then there it's right there on the CD. And there it is.
Funny.
Yep.
That's right.
It's always amazing how you get there. That's great.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, you know, and then sometimes it comes fast and sometimes it's painful.
And like Zeus said, I think that's why it's fascinating when we have people like you that were so connected to Kiss and help write songs, because we're so immersed into the band and we love these songs. And we're so used to hearing them, but to hear the story of you sitting with Paul, it just makes the love of the band that much even like better to know, you know, kind of how
to
these
know
things
some of the background of what.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
things,
yeah.
History could have been different if you turn back to him and go, Paul, that's terrible. Forget it. Drop it. Don't even do that.
So true. It's so true. Yep. So many things can alter. You know, it's the thing with the music business, too. Everything, it's timing, happy accidents, you know, all kinds of stuff that bring you to, you know, to a certain level. And I don't think there's any way you could have actually planned it.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah.
You know, we all took some kind of road.
But someone like you, whose history and background, and we'll get into that, you've been all over the map as far as artists and genres of music and all that stuff. And you've touched so much. So you have such a huge background and experience of how something may work and something may not.
It might
be great. It might be the best thing you've ever done, but somehow that doesn't connect. And something you're like, that connects.
Yep.
That's right. It's so true. You just never know what people, you could only do your best. Or like for me, I look at it like, you know, it's some kind of a gift. It's something that was given to you. The ideas come into your head and sometimes they don't. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, the song I've been trying to work on, you know, now, just an idea that I have with a producer friend of mine. And for some reason, I just haven't felt it for the past couple of days. I'm not feeling the, you know, I'm getting a little bit, but and all of a sudden, you know, actually today I'm driving in the car and all of a sudden I start hearing some guitars. I start hearing this. I grab my phone and I start putting it in there quickly.
Yeah.
You know, so you just never know, you know, where the ideas come from and how they do. Some other guys sit in the room and how about that? How about this? How about that? You know,
it's funny you say that because hearing you go, yeah, I just got to grab my phone. I can put it in there because you read all these books of all these legendary songs and it's always somebody couldn't find a tape recorder. Shit, I'm going to forget
it. That's right.
We can't keep playing because tomorrow I'll forget it. We need to record this now. And like all these legendary songs that only happened because someone found a boombox or called into their answering service and played it on their voicemail.
You know, I used to do that. That's so funny. Yeah. I used to have songs back in, now that you just mentioned that, my answering machine was filled with songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was right. I used to do exactly that. You know,
that's so funny.
Yeah,
wow.
It's crazy the way it works.
Now, how about an album? Do you have a favorite album?
You could say Asylum or Animal Eyes if you want.
No. You know, oh God. You know what it is? It's like you just said a little while ago, I'm all over the map.
Yeah.
And one thing that strings it all together to me, I don't look at it as all over the map because to me it's all about one thing, which is good songs.
Good songs.
So to me, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, country song or Miley Cyrus or Kiss or, you know, or anybody. You know, if there's a song that moves me, that's what I gravitate to. And there's certain things that I like about different genres of music. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like some guitars, I like country. I like the, you know, dance music has such powerful beats. It'd be great if you can combine that with rock and roll. You know what I mean? Rock and roll.
Yeah.
I love the guitars, you know. So, and well, that gives you an example. I think that's another thing that, for example, Paul and I had in common.
Totally.
Because I was made for loving you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's that same mind frame of, you know, God, I love to be in these dance clubs and listen to that boom, boom, you know, hitting us, knocking us out. Like, it's a different type of rock and roll because it's got power, right?
Right.
You know, but at the same time, then they turned around and they put guitars on it. And then they did this with it. But in reality, it's a dance group.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and right? That's amazing how that came about when he's like, you know what? I'm in all these clubs. They do this. I know I can write a hit like this.
Exactly.
That'll be in the same club that I go to dancing. Next time I come in, it'll be my song. And he did it.
And he did it. You know, so far, now that you say that, you know, then I came out with Feel the Heat, which was also probably the only club type of record on my record that could be played in a club.
And you know, so thinking like that too? Like, hey, I want to listen to my own music.
Exactly. That's right.
That's awesome. That's
funny. That's right. Because we used to hang in these clubs that were very different than what you would think. Like, it wasn't like pubs and bars. And it wasn't that at all.
It wasn't CBGBs. Like, it wasn't punk
clubs.
Yeah.
Where all the pretty girls were.
Why not?
Yep.
Why not? Now, I'm gonna stick to this.
Okay.
Can you think of any album from Kiss at all?
I tried to slip out of that one. Didn't work.
Yeah, I know you tried.
What?
You know, the point is that I like so many different genres of music. It's almost impossible to bring it down because it really depends on my mood. You know, it depends. There could be one time I want to listen to an R&B record, sometimes that's just not my thing, and I want to listen to.
Oh, but we're talking Kiss now.
Bon Jovi or Kiss. Oh, you're talking about Kiss. I thought.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're narrowing this down, my friend.
We're not torturing you to name your favorite album ever.
I was going to say Willie Nelson or something he's going to pull.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Then you know what? I might say Asylum.
There you go.
Perfect.
I may say Asylum. You know, just, yeah, why not? I'll take a little juice here. You know?
There you go.
You should.
Why not?
You should.
So, did you see?
Yeah. I guess greatest hits don't count, right?
No. We're going studio album. Did you see Kiss perform a lot yourself?
Like in concert? Like, did you go to Kiss concerts, like as an attendee?
Do you mean you're talking about in the past years?
No. Just like in general, like in the 70s and the 80s, like did you go to Kiss concerts to see them live?
I didn't go to a lot. When I was really young, I mean, I lived way out on Long Island. So there was nowhere to go. There was like Nassau Coliseum and, you know, you have to go to the city, to Madison Square Garden. So that's when I went to see them. And it's just like, this is like crazy. But there wasn't something where I went every year.
Yeah,
my dad wasn't that kind of guy. Wasn't my family. I was the furthest thing from rock and roll. I was a little black guy living way out on the end of Long Island. It was really hard for me to support my adoration for rock and roll and Kiss. And you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah.
It must have shined through, though. It did come through.
It certainly did.
Well, obviously, you're here to talk about it because the success that you've had. So, but I'm sure it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy. That's right. It wasn't easy. And sometimes you really don't know how you get to certain places. Like I said, because it was really by chance.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. Now, would you say you've gone to about at least 10 concerts? Kiss concerts?
Kiss concerts?
Probably so.
Okay.
Probably about 10.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you know, over the years.
Yeah. Over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the band members. Do you have a favorite Kiss story or memory?
I
love when we ask this question, the first reaction is to laugh. That means there's something good coming.
Not necessarily.
Like you
I'm trying to think what would be a funny story.
Yeah, you're probably thinking like the PG ones, like it's not you and Paul with a couple of twins. You know,
you're
like
not
that.
The one. You're not talking about the.
No. You can feel free. Yeah.
You can tell
us. Would love it.
They would love that. Oh yeah, they want to hear those.
I gotta say, what was crazy Kiss story? That's a tough one. I guess it's not a crazy story, but I thought it was a pretty interesting sight. You know, when we were working on this Crown of Thorns record in L.A., Gene, Paul, myself and Mickey, we were very involved and we were like together every day for a very long period, like almost a year. And it got to the point where we actually st- started getting influenced by each other. So we all had black trucks, SUVs. Paul had a 4Runner at the time. Gene had one of the older Range Rovers. I had like a, they're all black. We all had stuff on them everywhere. And we all had little dogs.
Oh, okay.
Little dog. This big. I had a little, what was it? Terrier. That was, Noel was their, his name. Paul had a little, what was it? A Pomeranian. No, Gene had the Pomeranian. Paul had a little dog, which was impossible to train. And then, so all four of us would walk into the studio with four little dogs running around.
That's awesome.
It was crazy. And we passed. It was recording sometimes. It was crazy. But that's not really a kid story. But it's,
it's good.
But it's endearing, and that's awesome.
Totally, totally. So let's get into the crux of your relationship with the band and two of our favorite albums, and everybody listen to the show. We love the 80s era, of course. So Animalize. How did you end up being part of Animalize? Thrills in the Night, Get All You Can Take, Under the Gun. You did some co-writing. You played bass on a couple songs. As Kiss fans know, Gene was kind of, exploring other career opportunities, shall we say, at that time. Is that what kind of led you to kind of help out Paul a little bit with this? Or how did that come about?
You know, I really don't remember Gene being so gone as a lot of people say at the time, you know, because they each had, if I remember correctly, their own responsibility to finish half the record.
Right.
You know, at the time, no matter what, you know, so it's not, I don't believe Gene jumped in. I mean, Paul jumped into all of Gene's stuff too. Gene still had to find time to do that work that he had to do for his contribution. But anyways, like I said, I met Paul, we met in a club, you know, so it was this dance club, matter of fact, called Heartbreak. It was like an old diner. Everybody used to go there. I remember Brooke Shields used to be there all the time. And just a lot of little actresses and Drew Barrymore at the time was a kid. her mom had her on their shoulder. Anyway, it was a really interesting place. And it was the beginning of where all the people, a lot of people that are famous now, were just starting out. Mm-hmm. So it was like all actors and rock guys and this and that. And everybody, it was a place where everybody kind of hung out. And if you look at them now, Sean Penn, there's this one, you know, they all became like this amazing thing. Okay, we're back to the point. So Paul and I met in the club. We started hanging out for like a year. And then one day I was just in his apartment. We were hanging out, just, you know, do what we do. We sit there. He loved Chinese food. So we always would order Chinese food. He had this, I can still remember it. Fried wonton in sesame sauce that he introduced me to. I love those things. They were like, it's almost like it was almost like in peanut butter. It was just delicious. So we did that. And one day, kind of with the guitar, just started messing around. You know, I'm walking around. I hear something. And then, boom, in the night.
Wow.
And that's the first time. That may have been the first time he ever pulled out a guitar in the whole time we knew each other.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
That comes to think of it. And that's how I got involved. And then, so basically from there, we did that. And then that started to me being in the studio, hanging out, blah, blah, blah. Gene always liked my bass player. You know, he just liked, you know, I was more of a kid back then, you know. But he just liked, he called me Bouboise. He still calls me that. He's like, Bouboise, you want to come play this? You know. And so we had that kind of relationship. And I guess they played me the things. Said, why don't you play it? You know, for the songs I wrote, you know, they felt that I had a certain feel for those songs. Because those songs have a kind of a up, off the beat kind of bass part, if you know what I'm saying. But Gene, people don't realize, he's a great bass player.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go and listen to some of the things that he's doing and singing at the same time, you know.
Yeah,
he's a serious cat. But anyways, so in other words, not like he couldn't do it. I mean, but they're just different. You know, sometimes people have different feels, and they liked it, so they just had me do some songs.
So we have
and
you
it was
with
casual.
Yeah,
we have you with about 5 songs on the Kiss discography. So you started talking about Thrills in the Night. It started with I don't know, what was it, P peanut butter on wonton soup. I don't know what it was. Wonton soup,
fried
peanut butter?
Fried wontons and sesame sauce.
Okay, and sesame sauce.
You got to get it right.
Well, Paul is like does all this cooking shit now, and he's like, he talks about stuff and on the cruise. He's like, now I put in a little orange juice in the pasta sauce. Like,
and everyone was like, I'm 100% Italian. I almost burst into flames. Like, what are you putting orange juice in your pasta sauce?
I don't know if he's doing peanut butter in his wonton soup. I don't know what he's doing. Anyways, that's how you guys. So he starts thumbing around with guitars and you're starting to work on your co-write with Thrills in the Night. Right. Did you like? Where was the trade-off? What did you guys bring in each? Like, oh, he had the chorus. I came in with the verses.
Oh, God. Like, you know how many years ago?
Oh, those songs are legendary to us. If we get any tidbit, we'd love it.
I cannot remember that. I really can't. I mean, I think I mentioned it that I don't remember.
Okay.
Because we both throw things out so fast, you know. We're both kind of like, but usually the first melody that comes is usually it. Mm-hmm. It's not like we sit around and go, let's try this. Let's try that. Like I said before, it's usually I hear something. Just let me try this. I was just trying to see if I can remember, but I can't.
And do you find that I always say that Paul Stanley, if I need anybody in my life to write me a melody or a beat or a hook, mm-hmm. it's Paul Stanley more than anybody. He just knows how to, especially a chorus.
And
that Thrills in the Night chorus is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember.
Now, who came up with the hook?
We might have done it together. Because we do that. We start playing. We start singing together. And it just comes. And we say, we like that. Oh, we like that. It's like a potpourri of... You know, it could be bits of him, bits of him. That's how we work.
Yeah.
I guess you're not imagining how it works.
We're
sitting in that room. We both, you know, he's got a guitar. I didn't have a guitar, I don't believe, at that time because it just came up all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So, but he might have had something because then we recorded the little demo of it.
Yeah.
Because once we had the idea, then we'd spend time on the lyrics. That took a little time, believe it or not. People think they're really... simple, you know, Thrills in the Night. It's about sex.
It's about prostitute getting her thrills in the night.
That's right. You know, but the truth is, you know, especially Paul, he spends a lot of time on stuff like that to be what he thinks is right. Mm-hmm. You know, I always said that to people. It's almost like I've got a needle, and when that needle is sitting, you know, just goes in your head at 12, then you know that's it. And he's that way. So he'll look for different words, for things that might seem trite, but no. So we'd actually sometimes sit on the phone working to finalize. And there's always like a little small part, you know, three lines, you know, something. Everything else is great, but there's like three lines.
You got to figure out.
Right. Yeah. You know, we think about it. I go home. He goes home. We call each other. We go back and forth. I think I got it. And we hang up. And we start, you know what I mean? Until we finally find it.
Yeah.
So we did that on several things. And as far as the playing, you know, I never knew that I'd get credited for any of that. This is completely casual. You know, I didn't find out anything about that till, I mean, many years later. When somebody told me from a Kiss book, I believe, I saw you played bass on the record. I never said anything to anyone. I never mentioned it. And it was just kind of a, you know, you're here, you do it. It wasn't a, you know, session thing. It was just more as a friend playing the bass on the record, which was an honor for me, to be honest.
Now you get into, like, from co-writing Thrills to Gene sitting there going, why don't you play the bass on this song? And you do Get All You Can Take, which I think Mitch Weissman wrote, and he was probably around the studio around that time as well.
And then
all of a sudden, you know, you pick up and you do the bass. I like it. Keep it in. And he just lets you go with it. What do you think of Get All You Can Take?
I like it. I mean, I enjoy these songs. I mean, I enjoy all the Kiss songs, you know,
yeah.
and especially... fun to, you know, to play on them.
Yeah.
But, you know,
now when you went into the studio after you, like, how kind of walk us through how you did you, were you planning on playing bass? Did you ask to play bass, or was it Gene saying, you know what, this is, you're doing good here. Why don't you play on this? Like, how did that, like, you come into the studio and then all of a sudden you're playing bass on a couple Kiss songs on a Kiss album.
That's right. Like I said, again, I'm trying to even visualize it. So guys, you got to remember, this is a really long time.
I know.
Ago.
We're talking 40 years ago.
I have a hard time remembering things.
No, that's okay.
3 weeks ago.
That's okay.
Let alone. So the absolute detail is hard to remember.
That's okay.
You know, it was very casual in the way things this would have. So it wasn't even Gene standing over me going, blah, blah, blah. I'm even trying to think if Gene was always there on the song, or if Gene and Paul talked and then Paul said, you know, you mind trying something on this song for us?
Okay.
You try something on that song, you know, and stuff like that. And Gene, you know, never thought twice of it, you know, about it. So he's not somebody to be like sitting there watching to make sure. For some reason, he just had faith. He just was like, yeah, let's move on to it. I mean, that's kind of like,
because he knows you know what you're doing and you're good at it.
Exactly.
So, of course.
Well, you know, I come out of the Plasmatics. I just played a little Steven Van Zandt.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Band, so, you know, also.
Obviously,
so
you're talented.
I had some history, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it's now that it actually sunk in years later that you did that, because I think it's a great thing.
Absolutely. You got
proud of. You know,
absolutely, of course.
And the Kiss Army loves it. So you got Get All You Can Take, where there's actually swearing involved. I don't know if you've been on a song where the word fuck is being said, but you got that.
He was in the Plasmatics. I'm sure they had to have been one or two.
I don't know if they had.
That was our count off.
fuck. All right. And then Under the Gun, which Tom likes to call Fast Kiss.
It's Fast Kiss.
different style of Kiss music. Now, how was that playing that Fast Kiss song? Was it much different?
It's got to be.
Oh, God, I got to even. Oh, God. It wasn't that much different. You know, I came, like you said, I come from the Plasmatics. So
it's, you're used to that.
Plasmatics was the fastest playing I think I've ever done on any record, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Throughout all my years. You know what I mean? Because that speed was just, you know, completely crazy.
You've worked with the Ramones as well. So, like, you've got that. You've got the Plasmatics. And then you got.
And I played bass on a lot of those Ramones.
That's right. That's right.
And then you got Under the Gun, which is probably the fastest Kiss song that they've done.
Oh, God.
And it's totally. But we love it. I mean, they were playing those songs live, you know, Thrills in the Night, Under the Gun.
I never asked Paul about that, but I wonder why they stopped playing those live. Unless, you know.
But they did. They were playing those for a while live.
Yeah, on those tours. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, during that time, but I was wondering, like, after they put the makeup back on and stuff.
Yeah, they're not. Know. They don't. They we like they to always think to that they like what's current. So when they're in the non-makeup, they're playing non-makeup songs. When they're in the makeup, they go to, this is what the crowd wants to see. This is what they're going to get, you know?
Yeah, if they're going to play anything from Animalize, it'll be Heaven's on Fire, because that was just a huge hit.
That's true. That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Fantastic.
Yeah. And you move really on to song. Another great song, which, you know, doing this podcast now for 5 years, Kiss fans love Who Wants to Be Lonely. They love this song.
We do too.
I'm so happy to hear.
We do too. We do too. It's fantastic.
It stands out. I mean, like, you know, you have like favorite deep cuts, and you hear and the Kiss Army. We do different games and stuff all around with like Kiss songs, and have fans and listeners write in stuff. Who Wants to Be Lonely is a favorite of people's. I'm telling you.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear that. I am. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
And you're partly responsible for that. You want to tell us a little bit about that song, or what you think, or Who Wants to Be Lonely?
Yeah, I do like that song, even, you know, now. And matter of fact, I play it live, you know. So.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you did it recently on the – didn't you just do it now, recently, on the tribute?
That's right. I just did it. I just finished it. Did you hear that already?
Yes. Yes.
Ah, did you guys like it?
Of course we did.
It's awesome. Of course it's great. Yeah, it's great.
I'm glad.
Well, you're the co-writer, so you know what the original sounded like. So when you
That's right. You know, the truth is I didn't do it exactly. Like, for example, there's one thing I wanted to change, on that record, but I never got around to do it. But I think it sounds good. It works because you got to be careful, I guess, not to be too much of a perfectionist.
Right.
But, because that record was a well-made record as well. You know what I mean? It was,
yeah. I was going to ask too. It's an Asylum. It's similar, but it's also very different than Animalize. You know, Animalize is more, mm-hmm. I like to say it's like kind of like they're, you know, taking the makeup off and trying to get into like the heavy, fast, like hair metal scene. Whereas like Asylum is much more melodic, kind of like pop metal, kind of glammy. And I think Who Wants to Be Lonely, like Zeus already said, it's absolutely one of the standout tracks one of the catchiest choruses, I think, in the entire Kiss catalog, which, you know, kudos to you for that. Oh, it's terrific. Yeah.
I'm glad. And also, you know, it's got a very cool groove that's different than other Kiss songs.
Yes.
It's mixing up styles a little bit, you know.
It's kind of like a driving tour. Like,
that's right. That's right. Like that, that's right.
That.
I like the video.
Oh, we love those Asylum videos.
You love the wardrobe that they were wearing? Good Lord.
Yeah, those outfits.
I remember that time. We were glam. And, you know, again, because Paul and I were agreed, like, we had a similar thing with clothes, and we were just wearing like crazy stuff. Glam. It was the time of over the top and shoulder pads, you know. I remember my manager said to me one day, if those shoulder pads get any bigger, Jean, you're not going to be able to walk in the door.
Yes, Paul was but that 80s scene suited Paul. He was
totally
meant for that. He could make the makeup transition to that easy. And Gene couldn't do it, finding himself trying to.
you think at 20?
Oh my god!
Gene struggled a little bit with that look. It took a while for him to come back.
You're right. I think that Gene is more like a natural looking demon, if you know what I'm saying, than a glam kind of rocker.
Like a beautiful demon. That doesn't work.
No,
I think that's why
to me, the best non-makeup era for Gene, without question, is obviously Revenge. He had the long hair, the goatee. He looked like he was back to being evil Gene.
There you go. That's
glam Gene. Glam Gene is not a good look.
Well, I'm glad that the fans. First of all, it's just so amazing the way this whole Kiss Army thing is.
Oh yeah,
and that they have this huge base of love like this. It's just an incredible thing, you know.
It is.
So it's a good thing for them to have this. So anyway.
Yeah, no, the other one which you co-wrote as well was All Night, which again, it goes to Paul. There's something about the man that knows how to do a fucking chorus. And I don't know if I'm giving him too much credit, because that chorus could have been you. All Night is a fucking catchy as all hell chorus.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you mentioned you liked Tears of Fallen, but between that, Who Wants to Be Lonely, All Night, you got three of the catchiest songs, and they drag you in, and it's just contagious. And I love that song. I think it's a great tune.
I've always been really picky about choruses as a writer for anybody I work with. You know, it's a really important thing to me. I always want the choruses to be as great as they can be, because it's the climax. You know, to me, you introduce people, then you tell them a little bit of the story, what's been going on, and then, you know, then you start to tell them why you're upset, and then I'm pissed. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's an example.
Yes.
But you know, and that's how you write. And I think it's important. So we'd spend a lot of time. Well, not a lot of time. We'd make sure that we felt that we both felt the chorus was strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're fighting yourself. You know what I'm saying? Is it as good as you can be? Is that right? And yeah.
I mean, look at all the songs you were part of, even the ones you didn't write, but you played on. Everybody knows those choruses. You may not remember the verses, but you know what? Thrills in the night. All you can take. What fucking, under the gun. You know all these choruses. They're very catchy. Then you got the same thing with the two on Asylum. You've got Who Wants to Be Lonely. You know that one. And then same thing with All Night. Fan-fucking-tastic.
And you played and you played bass on both of those. I think you had credited for backing vocals on both of those too.
Well, at least on Who Wants to Be Lonely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's true, actually. That's right. We did. I may have done more backing vocals than that, because I know that we used to really like singing together. So if I was in that studio, I was probably singing.
Yeah. It's always fascinating to me when you see that somebody like yourself that's obviously not in Kiss, but is playing bass on a few songs and doing backing vocals on a few songs. How do you determine like songs that you're not doing, like Tears Are Falling, you're not doing backing vocals on that. Was there ever a time where the band like wanted you to do a song, or were you like, hey, I want to do a song? Like, how do you end up with like just these songs and not all the other ones? Is there like a system to that when you're in the studio, or how does that work?
You know, like I said, since it was such a casual thing,
yeah.
I never asked to play. Yeah, I just wouldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have
right.
A band
right.
that's got a bass player, but you know, especially you know the bass player they have. You know, I would. Can I play bass on the record? It just wouldn't be appropriate.
Right, right. You know of course. What I mean? Oh, totally. So,
So I never asked. They asked me. And again, I'm not sure. Sometimes it would mostly be Paul. You know, and Gene would just approve. You know what I'm saying? Like, Gene would let you know that it's okay. So if he's there, but it would be like a non-issue kind of a thing. And so maybe the other songs might have been finished already. You know, he might have already done bass on those. You know, because they used to have a pretty, I don't remember the schedule a lot, but it was very organized, you know, how things got cut. You know, drums were, you know, at the time, you know, 8 days or whatever the days it took, boom, boom, then they went right into the guitars and Bruce and, you know.
Yeah.
Usually pretty well, organized recording schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I guess those are the ones they asked me to play with. It could be, various reasons.
Yeah. Now, were you a fan of Kiss when you started to get involved with Animalize and Asylum? Like, were they on your radar? You obviously love all kinds of genres of music. Were you a fan of them currently when you got involved?
Yeah, absolutely. Because from the very beginning, since I was a kid, much younger, you know, way out there in Long Island, I had a Kiss poster. I remember my grandmother would come in the room. I've got a, my family 80, and actually my uncle was a big voodoo priest. So, you know, we're very much into spiritual things.
Wow,
His name was Max Beauvoir. I don't know, Max, you could look it up. You'd enjoy it.
Really?
All kinds of stuff. The film Serpent in the Rainbow was about him.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and the book
my
was
goodness.
Definitely about him. So,
wow.
That's fascinating.
Anyway, so I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, but what was I just saying right before that?
We were talking.
How did I get to Max Beauvoir?
We were talking about you growing up as a Kiss fan and being from Haiti.
Okay, there you go. The point I was going to say is my grandmother would come into the room. I gave you the background because they take it seriously. And she actually thought she wouldn't come into my room. Matter of fact, she would walk into my room because she thought Gene was the devil. Was like an
All of us kids should have put him in our room then.
That's fantastic.
I can't come in that room. No, that man is an evil spirit. No.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Hey, Jean, before we wrap up here, and we can't thank you enough for the time that you've given us, I do want to ask you a quick question or get a comment and actually give you a bit of kudos that's not Kiss related. So,
okay.
One of my favorite songs from the last 20 years that I still listen to now, and it's on one of my playlists because I run, I like to work out, is Faith by Crown of Thorns.
Uh-huh.
And I find that is one of the most underrated albums and songs. And I just wanted, having you on the show, I just had to give you a shout out for that.
I really appreciate it. And the funny thing is that when that record came out, for some reason, Sirius Radio picked up that.
And that's where I heard it. I'm a Sirius XM subscriber. That's where I heard it. And I immediately went to, I think it was iTunes or whatever at the time. And mm-hmm. what was it? 2008, 2009.
It was around then. That's right. When the first album came out.
And I still have it on my playlist. I just think it's a fantastic song. And having you on the show, I had to take a couple minutes to just give
I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Yes.
And don't forget, you should tell people that, you know, My Soul on Rock and Roll, my book is out. So,
yes.
You know, yes, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Information. You know, about some of the Kiss stuff, about and everything else, and all the other people I worked with. It's a good account of just my whole life from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Now, where can they get your book, Sean?
Everywhere online, for one thing, literally all the, you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, it goes on and on. All, Bet My Soul on Rock and Roll, believe it or not, is the only thing titled that. So,
wow.
So you get pages of just that.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
There's nothing else on the internet like that. And it's also available as an audio book.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
People don't like to read.
Yeah, they like listening nowadays. A lot of people like the audio part. Now, you've also worked with a bunch of different people. I mean, obviously, the people gravitate to you because you have a lot of talent. And it's funny because it's like one of those things that – when we do research and we're looking up, John, like, wow, he's part of that. Wow. I didn't know he was part of that soundtrack. Oh, wow. I didn't realize he did this. Wow. I didn't know he was, you know, working with Prince and other stuff. And now Tom is the biggest Prince fan there is. So I'm sure he would love to hear anything about your experience with Prince.
Well, I mean, we have a long standing relationship, started way at the beginning, because you wouldn't believe it, but the first offer I got after I left the Plasmatics was from Prince.
Oh my goodness.
So, and I was shocked, because I was like, you know, first of all, I wanted to do my solo things. I didn't want to be in anybody's band. That's, you know, I wanted to get out of there.
What were you thinking? John, what were you thinking? Would you have been on 1999?
I guess that probably would have been the time. And
John,
wanted to
what are you doing? You know, imagine if you got a writing credit on that. Holy shit.
You know what? You're going to imagine. I don't know if you'd be writing. Well, you never know. You never know.
If you got a writing credit on 1999 and Little Red Corvette.
I know. Buddy, I hear you.
You'd be calling
you.
Us from your Corvette right now, driving around. Prince.
You know, believe it or not, it was crazy. At that time, I really wanted to get a solo deal, which I did.
Yep.
And, you know, and believe it or not, I saw somebody else talking about it on a documentary just the other day. You know, music was really limited at that time. They weren't playing black artists.
Especially not MTV.
Especially MTV.
Yes, yep.
So everybody was in a competition. Everybody was trying. Matter of fact, my book talks about this because I didn't even know this. But in the foreword of the book, there's a guy who's Michael Jackson's friend, and it talks about a rivalry that Prince and Michael had from the beginning to get me to join their camp.
No kidding.
All kinds of offers.
Wow.
You know? So it's in my book, but it's pretty interesting. But at the time, it wasn't a thing to do, because if you did that, you'd be pigeonholed. Do you know who Prince's bass player is from 1999?
I have no idea. Tom's the big Kiss fan.
Tell us.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm sure he's a rich son of a bitch, so I'll tell you that.
You'd be surprised.
But he's not a songwriter. You are.
That's true.
So
that's true.
If you had songwriting credit, that's where the money's at, right?
You know, to be quite honest with you, I mean, a lot of years I felt that way, because he made offers of several times throughout my career. But in the end of the day, when he passed away, I really regretted not working and doing something with him, because...
Yeah.
I think there was something, especially the way he died. I felt that he was reaching out for something more than just, you know, I think he needed, and we probably would have done something amazing together.
Yeah.
When I
everything he did was amazing. The guy had so much talent, he couldn't even get out of his own way half the time, you know. It's just incredible, you know.
He's very talented. I always really loved him and respected him, so yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like I didn't.
Oh, of course.
That, you know, do you have your own thing? I've always wanted to just be in charge of my own thing. I don't like,
yeah.
I've never liked to be dependent on somebody else.
I love it. Love it. Yep. I love it.
When they want to go on the road, when they meet a girl,
right.
You know,
right.
Your life is always in, you know, waiting for somebody to tell you what you're going to do. And I prefer to make those decisions.
Yep. Yeah. And you're talented to do it. And that's the difference. You have enough talent that you can say, I want to do this. Oh, I want to work with this guy. And they'll want to work with you because mm-hmm. you can do it all between singing, bass playing, production,
everything,
songwriting. You're a man of many talents. We're honored to have you on here. The book is Bet My Soul on Rock and Roll.
That's it.
And it's out there. Go get it. John's got a bunch of great stories and there's some Kiss stories in there, as well as stories with Stallone and Richard Branson and that's awesome. Yeah, fascinating stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And tell people where else they can find you. Have a website. If people are interested,
you can buy autographed copies from the website. Or you can just order from, you know, directly online or from your local bookstore. If you walk into any Barnes & Noble, you just tell them and they can just order it. They'll have it there right away for you.
Okay.
You know, or you can get the audio book. You know, So it's pretty much all the stores. Just if you remember, Bet My Soul on Rock and Roll, you will find it.
Awesome. The great Jean Beauvoir. We can't thank you enough. This has been a blast. We love talking music, talking Kiss, talking Prince, of course. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I loved it. Thank you.
We wish you nothing but the best, and we're so grateful that you spent some time with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Jean. Thank you.
Hopefully I'll see you guys.
Tom, that was Jean Beauvoir. Thoughts?
Super friendly guy. What a great conversation with us. Spending some time with us, telling stories about Paul, working on Asylum, working on Animalize, then, of course, picking his brain a little bit about some stuff with Prince, some of his Crown of Thorns project. And then I don't know if you picked up on the little tidbit about how he told us that he had a relative that was a Haitian voodoo priest in the movie The Serpent and the Rainbow is based on him.
Oh,
he brought that up, and I was like in stunned silence because I probably could have talked to him for about another hour about that. So, but a fascinating guy, tons of knowledge, tons of experience, and tons of talent. So we were thrilled to have him on air.
Yeah, he's super talented. He's been around with so many different artists that you're like, whoa, I didn't realize. Whoa, we wanted to kind of stay focused on the Kiss era.
Yep.
But he's got that book out, which has a lot of great stories in there. And you guys really should check it out. It's called Bet My Soul on Rock and Roll by Jean Beauvoir. You can find it on Amazon. It's out there all over the place. I love all these Kiss books that are out there by people in the Kiss family. And Jean is really part of the Kiss family.
Totally.
And I love that he's almost like we have a theme this year of like Kiss songwriters.
Yep.
And we're getting them all on. It's fucking amazing. Love to hear how some of these songs came to be. Obviously, Jean is like, hey, shit, that was like 40 years ago. But he had enough details in there to keep us entertained and to discuss. And we hope you guys enjoyed the interview because he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he was great. Lots of fun to have him. Glad we met him. Glad we chatted with him.
So, Tom, let's go to question of the week.
Yeah, we still got a ton left over from our mailbag. So what do we got this week? Let's take a look. Okay, nice, easy question here from one of our favorites, Jack Pinocchio. You both have been to multiple Kiss concerts. You've heard different set lists of songs and different lineups. What is one song you would love to hear them play live that you've never heard but would love to, and it can be from any era or lineup?
That's easy.
Yeah.
It's not the everybody's favorite deep cut, Mr. Speed. It's Nowhere to Run.
Okay.
So I like it. Out of left field. And yep. I wish Paul can still sing it too. That'd be the
yep.
big. Nowhere yep. to Run. Yeah.
Oh boy, for me. So I did see a couple different lineups here. The Hot in the Shade lineup, they opened up with I Stole Your Love. That's one of my favorites. I've seen them play Come On and Love Me on some tour. They've obviously played Unholy. I'm just trying to think a couple songs I love. Honestly, I would love to hear some version. I don't care who does it, but I would love to hear Sure Know Something. I just think that song is amazing. And whether it's, you know, on the unplugged version or a live version or the Dynasty version, I just think that's one of my favorites that I have yet to hear live. I'd love to hear it.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Great, Jack. Great question, Jacques Panaccio. Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, a great question. I mean, we can all dream. But yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
Tom, where can people find us?
We always say to go to our website. That's the best place. Shout it out, podcast.
Go
to him.
Go to him.
The season of the Little Drummer Boy is approaching, so we might have to get into that soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. That's a place you can find everything, all the episodes to Shout It Out Loudcast, Dorm Damage, ARC, Zeppelin Chronicles. You can find links to our Amazon shopping, links to our merch, links to our Patreon, which is awesome, of course, links to our social media. You can send us messages directly on the website, which is great. We get those in the form of an email, so please do that. You can also check out pictures of all of our guests. Photos from the cruises, from Creatures Fest. We've put a lot of time and energy into that website. We're really proud of it, and we hope you guys will spend some time poking around there. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, you can send us old-fashioned emails at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. If you want to be question of the week, that's the best way to do it, is send us an email. And we read every email that you send us, so please continue doing that. And, of course, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Follow us. Interact with us and check us out. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, people can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That helps out the show, gets in front of more eyes, moves us up the food chain, so it's much appreciated. In addition to that, you can always give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcast, on Stitcher, Spotify, Podchaser, Facebook, wherever you can give us a 5-star review. They help the show tremendously, move us up the food chain, get us in front of more eyes. And Tom, we actually got one from a TP Kitchen on Apple Podcast, Tom.
Do it.
Best and most original. That's what it says. Week after week, Tom and Zeus entertain us with fresh and original material. They have to be the hardest working duo in the podcast world. Love them. That's a 5-star child review from TP Kitchen. Much appreciated. Thank you so much for that. And you too out there, if you want to give us a 5-star review, especially on Apple Podcast, we will read the review and we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Tom, you can also, people can, as you mentioned, go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com, and email us at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. What we like to do is end on famous last words, lyrics from Kiss songs. You got one?
Oh, yeah. I don't need a reason to get crazy. I'm getting crazy, and that's enough. Show me something strange and make it stranger. I swear the danger runs in my blood. Ooh, tough guy.
Everywhere around the world, everybody's doing time. Freedom comes at 5:15. Prison starts at 8:45.
God.
the great Jean Beauvoir. Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you.
Jean Beauvoir, thank you so much for your time. Amazing. Love spending some time with you, talking everything from Kiss to Prince. Yeah. And Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Hit the music. What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide Kiss tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Cut the music. Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.